I'm not sure if it's what I ate today, but boy, I'm feeling something today. But hopefully it's the guest. And welcome to another fantastic edition of Cybersecurity Matters. Joining me, as always, is my sharply dressed co-host, Mr. Christian Redshaw. Christian, please tell me it's not what I'm eating, but who is our guest today?
Well, I'm feeling the same excitement, and I think it's the guest and not the breakfast that we had today. But we have Angelo Carteri from Checkpoint Security. So looking forward to finally being able to chat with him.
And you know what, I'm going to go out on a limb and probably say that's probably part of my breakfast. I had a questionable burrito from Walmart. But other than that, we will bring Angelo in to have an awesome conversation, and we'll be right back with him.
Angelo, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're happy to finally have you on.
I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you guys today.
All right. So first question out of the gate, we want to know how you got into cybersecurity in the first place. From your initial paper route or working at McDonald's, how did you get into, you know, IT and now cybersecurity?
Yeah, I have about 20 years of IT experience. I worked for a large organization here in British Columbia, held various roles across the value chain from customer marketing through to service delivery and operations. About a year and a half ago, I made the decision to move into cybersecurity. Happy to be working with the Checkpoint, a global leader in cybersecurity. Really passionate about the industry and, of course, Checkpoint's mission, which is really to make the digital world a safer place for all.
Awesome. So I understand Checkpoint does a lot of things. What is special about Checkpoint that stands out above other cybersecurity vendors? And what is the lanes of cybersecurity that you swim in as an organization?
Sure. So Checkpoint's been around for a long time. So actually 27 years. So it's one of the oldest cybersecurity companies out there. We're headquartered in Tel Aviv, Israel.
Okay.
As far as cybersecurity, we cover all of the attack surfaces. So obviously Checkpoint got its origins from generating and providing security for firewalls. But also we've moved into cloud, so we're providing security for cloud as we're seeing more and more organizations make the switch to digital transformation and moving more workloads and applications to the cloud. Of course, endpoint, so laptops, desktops, servers, and mobile devices as well. And we're seeing that actually as one of the biggest attack surface threats nowadays as more and more people are working remotely and accessing corporate data from their mobile devices.
Maybe just to play on that thread a bit more, I know, Angelo, you and I have talked about this before off camera, but during COVID, what are we seeing as other sort of security issues that are bubbling to the surface? So you mentioned mobile device management. What else are we seeing in terms of new security threats that organizations need to grapple with?
Yeah, so the FBI has actually reported a 300% increase in cyber crime pre versus post COVID. And obviously that has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of organizations have their employees working remotely, working from home, leveraging their own personal networks, Wi-Fi networks, which may or may not be secure with passwords. I've also heard stories of employers asking employees to take their desktops, computers at home if they don't have a personal computer that they can access. So definitely the attack surface has widened. The perimeter doesn't exist anymore. You know, in the good old days, everything was protected in the fortress. There is no fortress anymore. People are working remotely at home, coffee shops, restaurants. It's important to make sure that there's a robust security posture for the organization across all the different attack surfaces.
Now, and you know, talking about remote access a bit more. So, you know, in mid-March, when sort of COVID hit, a lot of, in particular, these smaller and some mid-sized organizations were scrambling to allow for business operations to continue remotely. Now, many enterprises were already set up quite robustly from a remote access point of view, but many SMBs were just running all over the place. And many just created very insecure solutions like using TeamViewer or remote login or RDP setups. How important is it, especially for SMBs, to make sure that they rip off those temporary solutions and focus on robust and resilient remote access solutions right now?
Oh, it's very important. It's critical. In fact, one of the stats that I saw was 60% of small businesses that suffer a cyber breach actually go out of business within 6 months. And other studies have proven that 14% of small business actually admit that they do not have a cyber security posture robust enough to prevent and protect themselves from some cyber threats. So it is very important. And I think one of the first things that small businesses can do is get an assessment, make sure that they're actually set up for success and they are sufficiently protected, or at least understand what the risks are and build a plan in terms of how to address those risks over time. So it could be through a security assessment, security checkup. Those are services that I know that your organization as well as Checkpoint also provides.
And one more question, because I realize I'm now hogging the mic here, but in terms of, in the SMB market, what Christian and I see, and I know you've mentioned this to me as well, Angelo, that so many small and mid-sized organizations are very reactive when it comes to cybersecurity, that it won't be until after a significant security incident or ransomware or data breach or what have you. Then all of a sudden the wallets open up and they feel compelled to do something. That proactive approach to cybersecurity is still not really there in the SMB market. What can we do to make that case more compelling to SMBs that they need to be more proactive and that they'll be paying more after the fact if they're reacting to these types of security incidents?
Yeah, it's not actually only happening with small and medium-sized businesses, but in some cases, even larger organizations as well. I think, for me, I think it all starts with vision and mission, right? So obviously, businesses exist to provide a service, or obviously to make a profit for their shareholders or owners. But ultimately, if a vision of an organization is something that obviously that organization aspires to become, and the mission is really their raison d'etre, like what is the purpose of being, and what's some language within that mission statement that touches on customers, employees, and stakeholders or shareholders. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, you need to assess your risk tolerance based on what you're willing to forego or spend in order to protect against cyber risk, which could have a detrimental impact to your mission and ultimately your vision. So you can have the best strategy in the world, but if you can't execute because of a breach or because of a fallout of a breach, you're not going anywhere. And I think a lot of organizations really need to take the time to assess their risk tolerance based on the vision and mission that they have for their organization.
Just sticking with the small and medium-sized business here for a minute, staying on that theme, what is your take on the attacks happening out there, the cyber attacks? Are most of them, in it from your perspective, happening to the larger companies? Because I think in the mind of a small business owner, which is the majority of the people who view our podcast, they may tend to think that it happens to the big guys. I'm just a small company, we're off the radar. What's your take on that? Is that accurate or not?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. So small businesses are definitely not immune to cyber threats. I've seen stats out there saying 45% of small businesses are targets for cyber criminals. Now, at the end of the day, you may say, well, that's only 40%, and most of them are still being targeted to large organizations. But it could have a very crippling effect for small businesses if they are breached. And I know that the BC Commissioner, Privacy Commissioner, has actually proposed hefty fines as well as mandatory breach reporting that's been submitted to government. To try to shore up the BC Privacy and Protection Act here. So there's a responsibility for small business not only to protect their own investments, but also their customer data. And it's naive to think that it won't happen to to small business. And unfortunately, and it may be simply human nature, people don't respond until something happens. And mm-hmm. it really does become important for organizations and small business in particular to take the time to understand their security postures and make the investments required to keep their business safe.
Mm-hmm. And I think as I come from an insurance background, then that's a lot about protecting financial loss. So when it comes to cyber attacks for smaller companies, other than avoiding that financial loss, there's a concept of digital trust and your reputation. Mm-hmm. How important is that digital trust factor with the clients that you work with at Checkpoint?
It's very important, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, businesses exist to serve their customers, right? And if you lose trust with your customers, it'll obviously have a detrimental impact on your business going forward. So ensuring that you are investing, organizations are investing the proper due diligence in terms of shoring up any security gaps that they have in their portfolio is critical. And it's very important. And ultimately for small business owners, you know, it's that understanding that, you know, building trust is a competitive advantage. And organizations that do it well by ensuring that they have robust security posture in place, in addition to other things like, training your employees, right, on how to recognize phishing emails. So it's really about training your employees and investing in the technology to keep your business safe and operating.
So someone might be listening to this and going, man, I don't wake up in the morning thinking about cybersecurity. I haven't got the time for this. It sounds probably expensive. It sounds like a hassle. It sounds like I've got to take people off their current jobs to do it. And it sounds like, okay, if you're going to start implementing security measures, you're going to slow my business down. You're going to affect the usability and the functionality of our systems here. How do you approach and address that balance between having that reasonable, legally defensible, at least basic level of cybersecurity without slowing the business down and actually enabling the business? Do you have a take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no question that we're seeing a lot of organizations moving to the cloud, and even small businesses, moving to Office 365, for example, or not even having servers on premise and just using, AWS or Azure or GCP. And what's critically important is building security as part of your DevSecOps, right? So as you're developing new products and services and introducing, innovation and new products, you want to make sure that security is being built in right from the start. And at the end of the day, there's a cost benefit to it, because you're not going to be doing very much if you are breached, because you'll be spending a lot of time, energy, resources, and probably money taking care and trying to remediating a breach. So, the best option is there's technology out there, obviously training your employees. There's advanced sandboxing solutions out there that will allow organizations to, get extracted files that are essentially cleaned while an emulation is being run in the cloud to ensure that the file is safe before the original copy is handed over to the end user. So there's technology out there that's actually, making it efficient for organizations to leverage, cybersecurity sandboxing solutions. What I'm finding is that there's still not as many organizations that are leveraging that technology, and I think they should be.
And Angela, another bit that I know is always frustrating, at least for us, is dealing with some IT managed service providers. And I'm curious in terms, again, particularly those that service the SMB community, and many of them don't seem to really truly appreciate that security is multifaceted. And when you have conversations with them and say, "Oh, well, we have antivirus and we have a firewall, we're meeting basic requirements for security," it's like, "Well, not really. I mean, if this was 1995, sure, you're meeting basic requirements, but not in 2020." Why is there that disparity with IT managed service providers, in which when it comes to security, there's those that get it, and there are those that are just a bit abysmal at it, And as a result, they are exposing their clients and customers to undue risk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question because you're absolutely right. A lot of small business organizations rely on IT providers to look after their IT and security is part of it. I think what's happening is that, and what should be happening, I should say, is that small business, you know, at the end of the day, you can outsource IT and cybersecurity, but you can't outsource the responsibility for a breach. Right. So if something happens, you know, you're on the hook for it, not your IT service provider. So I think it's really important for small business organizations to ask, you know, pointed questions for their IT service providers, such as what technology are you using? How often do you invest in that technology? When's the last time you updated your technology? How do you stay current with market trends? What are the latest threats out there? You know, at the end of the day, you're entrusting your business to an IT service provider, and you have every right to ask very pointed questions on, you know, the decisions that they make, as well as decisions that they haven't done with respect to any additional investments required in order to shore up their, you know, their technology to protect their customers.
One quick comment, which I'm going to say there, I have to give you props. You made Christian smile, and he's a man who is notoriously hard to make him smile. So there's a comment in there that you made there, but you can't outsource that risk. And that's like I said, I haven't seen Christian smile all day. So, I mean, that was I give you kudos for that, Angelo.
Good stuff.
We have a few more minutes here, Angelo. So there's I have one more, and I'm sure Christian probably has one more in the chamber there to fire off. So, in terms of, again, just thinking about the SMB community, and particularly with the threat of ransomware. So you and I know that ransomware is just running amok in the SMB community. But what was really startled me and what I've seen from trends as well is that there's a fairly high majority, or you know, at least a significant percentage. Again, the exact percentage is difficult, but let's just call it a significant percentage of SMBs that get hit by ransomware and are content to keep paying that protection money moving forward rather than invest that and deal with cybersecurity properly. And you know, we've had prospects where we've had those conversations and they've said, well, we think it's cheaper to just keep paying the ransom. And you know, it's like, well, that's like living in Naples during the heyday of the mob and just keep paying that protection money. You know, so I'm wondering.
We don't know anything about that, Rob, right? Yeah. You don't know anything about that part, right? So just to make that clear.
That never happened. Why do you think that mindset is still so prevalent?
Because it's easy. Really, at the end of the day. But what small businesses need to understand is that you know, as much as it may be easy to pay the ransomware, you know, there may come a time where you don't get back the files, or the ransom amount will be much more than you can afford to pay. All right, so absolutely, I think it's really important that organizations, you know, they don't need to go from A to Z in one big swoop, right? In terms of increasing their security posture, right? So. But it is looking at all the different attack surfaces and vectors and making sure that they have a plan in terms of how to address, right? So, you know, is my network secure? If I move to the cloud, is my cloud secure? Because there's a shared responsibility between you and the cloud provider. So I think a big misconception I think a lot of organizations and people have is, well, I'll just move to the cloud and my cloud provider will take care of the security for me. That's not the case. Cloud security providers will provide, it's a shared responsibility. So they'll provide security of the infrastructure in the cloud, but the data and accessing the data is the responsibility of the customer, right? And I think that's really important that organizations understand when they are moving to the cloud or Office 365. You know, same thing with mobile you know, accessing corporate data an email through mobile devices, be it corporate owned or bring your own device. Endpoints, of course, laptops, desktops. And the other trend that we're actually starting to see as well too is the Internet of Things. More and more organizations are bringing smart devices into their environment, you know, SCADA environments as well. They become targets and you know, there needs to be a security associated with those attack surfaces, really understanding all the technology that they've deployed in their environment and ensuring that there's security as part of it.
So one final question, Angelo, from me. We often say that cybersecurity is three things. It's people, it's processes and policies, and it's technology. And you being, you representing a cybersecurity vendor, it is very technology focused, and yet, you know, your clients can be doing everything right from an IT and a technology perspective and have that locked down solid, and then not have the policies and the people in place, those components. How important are the, I guess you could say, the more non-technical, more business-focused aspects of policy and people and communicating in very, you know, plain, everyday language? What is the responsibility of every individual in the organization for cybersecurity?
Yeah, and really at the end of the day, it comes back to, you know, as I spoke about earlier, mission, vision, and strategy. And, you know, as part and parcel of that, you need people, process as part of the equation as well. So it's not just all about technology, right? You know, as far as people, you got to make sure that, you know, a lot of organizations invest a lot of time and money hiring people, making sure that they're the right people. There's a cultural fit. There's investment required in terms of training those employees as well. And so, you know, an example that we had talked about, which is, you know, phishing campaigns and making sure people are able to identify and recognize phishing campaigns, although they are getting much more sophisticated now. And then when it comes down to the processes, really it's about looking at the value chain and trying to streamline operations to be run as efficiently as possible, right? And so you want to make sure that, you know, processes are well understood, they're adhered to, people understand the why behind the processes and why we do things the way we do. And if there's better ways of doing it, sure, let's bring them out and let's talk about them and see if we can innovate and find new ways. But also you need to make sure that you're looking at it from a lens, from a security standpoint. So, you know, many organizations, especially small businesses, are tied in and integrated into supply chains of, you know, very large customers. And it's, you know, it's their responsibility. In fact, a lot of organizations are demanding proof of security posture to ensure that they don't become compromised, because, you know, a way into a large organization may not be through the front door. It may be through a small service provider that provides a service to that large organization. So it's definitely important. It's all three. It's about people, process, and technology, all coordinated and combined to provide a secure environment.
So beautifully put. You've laid out so many reasons why cybersecurity matters and fulfilled the mission of our show today so eloquently. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Angela. Thank you. I enjoyed the time. Thank you, guys.
Well, it's always nice to have a fellow paisano like Angelo on the show. He did a fantastic job, and just such engaging conversation, you know. And he's such a level-headed person. And for me, the key takeaway again was the fact that the SMB market, in terms of what they're doing in terms of cybersecurity, still needs to come so far. I think the opportunities are there for maturity growth, and there's no shortage of good people like Angelo and Checkpoint that want to help them. But again, it's still, I think, incumbent on the SMB market to be more proactive than reactive.
Yeah, I appreciated about him. He's got an IT background. He's probably more of a technical guy, but you never know it speaking to mm-hmm. him. And he really put together the technology and the processes and the people elements of cybersecurity so well, such an understandable way.
And, you know, it was just such a great engaging conversation, and our thanks to Angelo and Checkpoint for being on the show today. And obviously, as always, we like to extend a special thank you to our viewers and listeners. However you're engaging with Cybersecurity Matters podcast, thank you again for your continued support. Please do make sure to check out the Conversations That Matter YouTube page to see previous Cybersecurity Matters podcast from season one and from this season as well as a slew of other awesome podcasts under the Conversation That Matters banner. Until next time, and wherever our paths may cross, be well and be safe, and we'll see you next time on Cybersecurity Matters.